The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Hello, Koigu people. This is Joe Poe.
And Mary Helen Deer.
Hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 98.5, KACO, Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill are Kiowas for a Better Future. District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, Susan Campbell, Kiowa Citizen, and Lawrence Spotted Bird, Kiowa Citizen. And now, next we'll have Donnie Awhady to give the opening prayer for our show. Donnie, go ahead and take it away with the opening prayer.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And Father, we know that you're the great I Am. And we know that as Indian people, we had to see some things that you put in place. And a lot of times we've missed. We weren't able to stand and recognize what thou hast done for us. But some of our elders have told us that you're there for us, that you put the stars in place. And that you gave us the seasons, that everything that we see on this good earth, you put it there for mankind, and we're looking to you and asking you to bless this time, that not only what we know, but what we're going to know maybe in the future, and that you would continue to guide us and show us how to take care of our people, how to help us understand what we need to know, especially concerning what you've done for mankind, and especially my Indian people. Koigu, I thank you for all and ask you to bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Donnie, thank you for that wonderful prayer. Next up, Mary Helen is going to conduct an interview with our Kiowa Elder of the Week, which is Donnie Awhady. So, Mary Helen, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Joe. So, Donnie, this part is when we have a conversation with one of our elders. And it's hard to think that you and I are in that group now, but here we are. And I just know that I like to listen to some of your stories about growing up out there in the country. So let's start with Hoosier folks.
My dad is Reuben Awhady, and it's the last name is Ahintekamo, which means kind of like storyteller. One, he's kind of like the tribe librarian. He kept track of all the war stories and all that. And that's my brother, Charlie. That's his Kiowa name. I ain't think all. And that was my grandpa's name. So we come from that. And my grandmother was come from the Ridhorn family, Aquioc. And my mother, she was half white and she was half Chickasaw. So that's where I stand, so to speak. So I'm very proud of everything that I've got to know of all. And I just I thank the Lord for that. So that's kind of where it is. And the stories about, I'm going to say, my grandfather was one of the last scouts for the Army. And I'll just kind of hold it right there. And you could ask another question, or if you want me to go on with that, I can.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of stories we like to hear.
Mm-hmm. My biggest interest since I was growing up, or I'm going to say since I started recognizing how my Indian people look to God, most of all, that's what really captured my heart. And my grandmother, when my grandfather died, which I didn't know, Charlie Ahente, I didn't know him. He died when my dad was 10 years old. And later on, my mother married a Cheyenne man, and his name was John Ridberg. So they were the kind of two that raised me. And I'm going to say, as far as my Indian people, I'm going to say I was cut short. My grandma was hard hearing, and my Cheyenne grandpa, so to speak, when they spoke in sign language. And if you had to talk to get really what you wanted to say to my grandma, you had to get real close to her and kind of speak kind of loud. But what I've learned a lot was the sign language. And it is one of those things that was a mystery to me. I would see things on the street where people would make signs to my grandmother. And I would always want to know, what are they saying? What are they doing? But I thought it was just like saying hi or goodbye. And it was more than that. They could ask you, they knew how long you've been sick or how long ago you've been sick, and they would ask you in sign language, and I would see my grandma, and I didn't understand it all, and that's kind of been my interest. So that's kind of where I've been putting myself, but not only that, to learn the sign language, but to learn what the Lord has put in place. And now I look for, every time I go someplace, I look for what the Lord has put in place, Dalki. And one of the things, I'll tell you this little short story. We were put a tent on the porch, and we put it up after they had it up for, I don't know, whatever reason. It probably had a peyote meeting down there, and it rained on it, and it got wet. And my grandma told us to, you boys go out there and put that tent up. We got to dry it out. Hurry up. So she got us all out there. We got out there and we got that tent up. And being young boys, nobody ever instructed us how we're to put a tent up. But this is a tent. And we put it up as fast as we could. And she said, you put the stakes in the ground. Well, those of you that have been around old folks, it's the teepees, the tents, they all had stakes, and you put them in the ground. And we put it in the ground. We put it up. And guess what? The door was kind of facing southeast. And my grandma come out the door, and she started getting mad. She grabbed that axe, and she says, you boys don't put that tent up that way. You put that door facing east. And she started going around that tent and hitting those stakes and knocking them out. And then we started pulling those stakes out, and we put that door east. We faced the door east, and we put it up. And my grandma was standing on a porch, and she still had that axe in her hand. And I guess we were all scared of her. She might hit us with that axe. But I wonder after that, and then she says, that's good. And she went in the house and she says, don't you forever, ever forget that. That door faces east. And that's always kind of been on my heart. Why is that? When did I learn that it faces east? Well, the Lord told me that when they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, that was one of the main instructions, is that the door faced east from that time on, always. And then the prophecy was that when Jesus comes back, he's coming from where? He's coming from the east. And, you know, ever since I seen that, every time I go to a foreign, I'm going to say another tribe, I start looking at their houses. And I look at the hogans. I look at their worship centers in the Pueblo area. I've been to canyons and different things. And you know what? Even the canyons where they had the cliff dwellers, if you go down, I don't care what tribe it is, their door, they have a door facing east. And sometimes it's in a, kind of like on a river bottom or bottom of the canyon or whatever. They all have a door facing east. And if they could not put a door facing east, they have a big window facing east. And you know, when our Indians went to pray, I found this out later on by talking to some of my elders. When they went on to these mountains, the medicine man, the prayer warriors, they went to pray. And of course, we know that they built a fire. They cedared it. They used whatever they were taught to. That's what they used. And they, what did they do? They, sometimes it was on a mountain. Sometimes it was on a hill. Sometimes it was on a cliff. And what did they do? They faced east. Oh, my. When I seen that, my grandma told me that, it was one of those things that, why is this? I didn't know. And then until I basically became to God's church and looked to his son, now he showed me why. We're to look to him always in God the Father. So I see some of these things now, and I cannot believe what God has put into place. And when I was in high school, we went on a senior trip to Washington, D.C., and we stopped in the Memphis area. And they took us, all those kids out there, and they wanted to show us the Indian Cemetery. And they took us out there, and we all got off this bus, and they said, you see that hill there? They said, it's a cemetery where the Indians buried their people. And so we was kind of walking around, and guess what? They had a door. It was kind of in the ground, but the door was what? Facing east. And we know that after the white man came here, anytime they found anything with Indians, they tried to dig it up. They wanted to get, I don't know what, I don't know if they were looking for silver or gold or, you know, whatever. But they were trying to find things about what the Indians done. And if you ever went to the, I'm going to say, the wagon wheel in, what is it, Wyoming?
Yeah, Montana.
Yeah. The wagon wheel, you'll get up there and you'll see some things that all those openings, they all face east. But they said there was many tribes that met up there and they prayed for each other. And that was kind of the meeting place. And it was almost like a peace type setting for the tribes, that if they had any things going against each other or somebody did something wrong, whatever, that was kind of where they met. But it was also looking to the Lord or looking to God the Father. And the more I found out about that, I was just so amazed. So I don't care how far you go back with my Indian people, you'll see that God the Father was overall, and that's what they preached. And now we look at some of the things that our Indian people do, what they say. Of course, we know that politics now is just tearing. I'm going to say it's not straightening this out. It's just tearing things up, because they're not doing what God wants them to do, God the Father. And that hurts me to a degree. But I can only do what the Lord would have me to do, and that is follow the truth. And then even in his word, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Well, that's what my grandma told me. That's what my dad told me. That's what my Uncle Bill, my Uncle Klaus, that's what that old man White Fox, that's what he said. That's what old man Opitone said to us, that we're to be truthful. We're to look to God for the guidance. And even our peyote ways, when we see what they do, you see how it is and how spiritual things are. And there were certain times you couldn't even say anything if you went in, if they brought you in. And very seldom when I was little did they take me in to a peyote meeting. But my uncle, Walter, which was he was avid, a peyote man. And he sang songs all day long if he was in the house. And he had gourds stuck in every every curtain in every room. So he didn't have to go look for one. He just knew where they were, and he would sing peyote songs. And I just thought that was something. And some of those songs to me were so beautiful. And sometimes he would explain it to, but even now, I can even tell you what he told me about different songs. But they all meant something. They all meant something. Some of them were morning songs. Some of them were the midnight song when the chief walked out of the peyote meeting and he prayed at a certain time, at a certain time in the evening, and how he started things off. I wish I knew more about it, but I don't. But listen to some of the, I'm going to say some of these people that do, I don't know if they're changing, but they said there's sometimes men will be in there and there's more joking going on. But they said a long time ago, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. You were supposed to be very serious about what you were doing in the peyote meeting and how you were to look to God. And a lot of times they would bring people in that were sick or suffering for something or hurting physically or whatever, or they would be honoring somebody, whether it was a grandmother, or grandfather, or somebody like that. And I don't want to put my Indian people down, but now I think a lot of times they do things because, I don't know how to say this, they kind of become egotist, so to speak. They're thinking about themselves. But back then, when I was growing up, everything was to look, who was the chief, who was running the meeting. That's the respect. And just like me now, when I go to church, probably the greatest respect that I have for my church family is my pastor. And it's just like, when I see Alvin Deere, I'm kind of humbled. When I see any pastor that I know, I'm humbled. When I see any peyote man that I know he's avid and thinking about the Kiowa people, it's just like more respect comes out. And it's like my Lord tells you, be good to him. Look to him because he's praying for you. And that's what I'm to do. I know that now. When I used to think, I wish somebody would pray for me or look to the Lord for me or do something. But now I realize that's what I'm to do. That's what I'm to show my people. That's what the Indian people showed me. You take care of your people. My grandmother told me, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of nobody. You might say you are, you might think you are, but if you're not taking care of yourself and you're living a bad life, you're going against the Indian way. And that's just one of the Indian ways that I heard. And I'm going to say the Indian way. How many people have heard, has people ever approached you and say, that's not the Indian way? or you need to do it the Indian way. Well, what is the Indian way? Well, I know one of them. And one of my uncles, Uncle Joe Kay, Joe Colity, he was given a horse. And they called him. They said, we're going to have this dance, and we want you to come. And they gave him a horse. It was a stallion. And this Indian man, this Kiowa Apache man, or this Apache man from, he bought it from a man, a gentleman in Colorado. And that horse was something. I got to ride it. I got to exercise it. And he always wanted me to come to his house and exercise his horses. Well, that's a long way to walk. But anyway, I would do it whenever I could. Well, later on, after this horse was getting a little bit up in age, this gentleman that sold that horse to this Apache man gave it to my Uncle Joe. He gave him that horse, and I think I can't tell you how many thousand he bought it for, but he gave it to my Uncle Joe because he knew Joe had horses, ran horse, whatever. And then this man that owned that horse come back down. And he wanted that horse back. He wanted to buy it back. And he said, I'll give you so much more hundred over than what he gave to me. And you know what my Uncle Joe told him? He says, I can't do it. He said, this horse was given to me. I can't sell it. And it was up in the thousands of dollars. He said, I can't sell it. He says, but I'm going to show you something that's Indian, very Indian. Maybe you respect it, maybe you won't. And he said, you can, any horse that you want to breed to this stallion, he said, you bring them down. He said, and I won't charge you. And to me, that was just hard for me to believe because I've seen people, they get something and they sell it. They get something, somebody gives them something, they sell it. You know, only thing they want is the money. But they say that's not the Indian way. And I've learned to respect it very much. And if somebody give me something, and I've had people in my family say, did you get this? They say, I want it. Sometimes I want to tell them no, but because they really had their heart on it, I give it to him. I have to give it to him. And that's it. I can't sell it. But I had to get some stuff away. And I hope it, more than anything, not please me. I hope it pleased the Lord. Because he's the one that's blessed me. God bless you. And thank you for just letting me be able to show you some of the Indian ways. And if you get a chance and somebody requests a prayer, that should be first on your heart. And another thing, what I see in God's word is that when my Lord and Savior, there was a special time to prayer, where did he go when he was in Jerusalem area? He went to the Mount of Olives. He went on to a higher plane. And you look at some of our Indian people, the old men, when there was something that really needed to be confronted, or we needed to show the Lord, or we need to ask him something, what we were to do, whatever, what did they do? They went on a high plain where there was a mountain, a high cliff, a hill, but they got away, and they had a way to do things. They had a way to look to the Lord. And a lot of times, those were our medicine men that did those things. And some people could really show you some beautiful stories, and I just got to know a very few. And when I told you the story about Joe Kay and his horse, well, I also know another story about him. He wanted to know, is Jesus really God the Father's son? Doggy, is that his son, the only begotten son? You know what he did? He went on the mountain, up to the Wichita Mountains. He went up there. And he prayed, well, I don't know how many days, almost a week. But all that time, it was fasting and praying. And when you fast, you don't eat. And he come back. And what he could tell his peyote people was that he just, the Lord just let me know that, yeah, that's his son. That's our Savior. And another story, I'm going to tell you to go look this up.
Donnie, yes. We're running out of time. And okay. We would like to have you come back because those are exactly the kind of stories that we want to preserve. So I really appreciate your time and agreeing to come on here and tell your stories. And we'll have you back.
Thank you so much for
taking time out of your day to come in. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it. All right, that was Don.
God bless you.
That was Donnie Ahady, the Kiowa Elder of the Week. And well, that was some interesting stories, wasn't it, Mary Helen?
Sure was.
Well, we have a special guest here in their studio today, and it's Rose Garza. Rose, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, that's good. So I understand you have some stories to tell us and some information that people may not have heard before.
Well,
I'll just let you go ahead and just let you say what you need to say.
Okay. Well, you know, some people, you know, the things that are going out about Matt, so, you know, getting a lot of feedback about, you know, are these just allegations? Is there proof? Well, you know, when I discovered the discrepancies in his credit card and I, you know, contacted the merchant that, you
merchant
know.
Services.
Yeah, and got that info and I turned that in to my supervisor. But I also went down to the BIA law enforcement and to file a report. And because it was morally wrong. And
well, Rose, what just for a lot of people that don't know, what exactly did you find in those credit card expenditures of the chairman's?
Well, I found, you know, it had a different name on the bank statement, and it had a number to call. So in order for me to reconcile it, I had to know what it was. So I called it, and
how did they answer the phone?
They answered some kind of name, but it wasn't what was on the bank statement. And I asked them what kind of company this was, and they said it was for mail enhancements.
Oh.
And so I inquired more about it, about who purchasing it, where is it being mailed to? And with that information, I was just as shocked as everybody else. And so I had to go back and look through further bank statements to find out what those charges were, because it kind of like clicked that, well, there's several charges like that. And so with that, I had turned that into my supervisor. And from there, I was encouraged to report it to the BIA, which I did. And that Officer Weir contacted me and told me to come in down to their station. And so I went down there and I filed a report for moral turpitude, because that's morally wrong. And
so, isn't it also fraud?
Well, yes, and I explained, and all that time I was sitting there, I had no clue that was Matt's close relative at all.
I don't think I saw that expenditure on the budget that I voted for. Did you two see it on the budget?
Nope.
No, I don't think mail enhancement was on the budget.
Yeah, so when I left there, I had no clue they were related until later on, and I'm like, oh gosh, I guess I'll be getting fired, and which sure enough I did, you know. Pretty much, you know, nothing came about putting any charges on Matt for that moral turpitude. So that stuff was turned into him, and nothing was done with the BIA.
Well, didn't we later discover that was the chairman's relative, and he just sat on that information?
Yes, and I figured, and he even recorded my statement. So I figured, well, I guess Matt's going to find out about that too, and I'm pretty sure he did later on, and that's why I got fired.
Well,
but, you know, we had a conference meeting with Matt, and he's the one that says, do your job. And I was doing my job. And
well, I mean, Rose, you did the right thing by disclosing that. I did the right thing by disclosing the chairman taking $6 million out of the casino's bank account without authority. All of his terminations that he's done throughout his tenure have been without due process of any type. And so we did the right thing, and ultimately the truth is going to come out, and ultimately people are going to have to answer for their deeds that they did, because we all have to answer for our deeds at some point in time, some sooner than others.
Yes, and one of our meetings we had with Matt, he called us all down there, and he was getting after finance and saying we're not doing our jobs and whatever, and everybody in our office was doing their jobs. And he said, you know, if you don't do what he wants us to do, he said, get out, resign, or we'll write you up and get rid of you and just replace you with somebody else. He said, he went on to say that he's going to win. I'm going to win. I won all this time. And look what happened to them. Look what happened to them. And it just made me upset in my mind, because is he referring to Angela because she passed away? I said, because he said God was on his side. And it just upset me in my mind that, is he referring to Angela because she passed away from COVID? That's what happens to them when he thinks God's on his side? And God is not a killer. So, things like that. And I have, it recorded, and his words say that. And he said, if you don't want to be here, get out, leave, resign. Then you can go on Facebook and say anything you want. So I just took his advice on it, and there I am.
So something that you had told me earlier, tell us about the current capabilities of the finance department to meet the demand of writing all of these checks. What those people that Frieda has in place, it's like one person trying to help 14,000 people. I mean, what's going on over there that they're able to produce 50 checks a day, or however many they produce?
We in finance, they can produce 300 checks a day. I don't know why they're saying 300 a week. They can process 300 checks a day.
Well, I know you told me earlier today that they're not even printing checks today because the printer broke. Is that right?
Yes, that was what the girl said at the COVID center in Anadarko.
Oh, that's a pretty difficult thing to fix. So that'll probably take a week to get fixed there. Well, Rose, you have anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I just want to help y'all to just hang in there. I'm pretty sure y'all not going to get your check real soon, because the way they're operating right now, and I'm telling you, they're just doing that just to do that to you all. So if you're out there, if you got that petition in the mail, mail it back. Because we don't need this in our tribe at all.
Because they're acting stink with the money.
They think it's their money. And Frieda has to, the slow process is Frieda says she has to approve them. What's there to approve when it's already been approved?
Yep, you're right. All right, Rose, thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it. And if you hang around just a minute, we'll go to your favorite rib place.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Now we enter our next portion of our radio show we have our legislative update, and we've got Jacob Totai here. Jacob, I understand you just had a meeting today. Why don't you go ahead and start off and tell us about all that and whatever else you want to talk about. So thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Joe. We've had a couple of meetings this week and last week. We had a hearing last week on Friday. Thursday, to discuss a new election ordinance. And we will be voting on that bill this today. And it's a significant change. We hope will remedy some of the loopholes that were in the old ordinance that allowed a recall to be contested and held up in court last January. that was recalled for District 4 legislator. And so we're hoping that all the kinks have been worked out and that we will be able to move forward once we approve this bill and it comes law, that the ongoing recall will be able to have smooth sailing and any other future recalls, because I think that was the biggest change that needed to be made with the ordinance. But they are being updated, and we will see how that bears out. But they're thankful to be able to get that moved through and in order to correct some of those errors that left us vulnerable to that court case. And then this week we met to discuss nominations. The most significant nomination is for executive director. And the nomination put forward by the executive branch is for Lindy Waters of Norman, Oklahoma, to serve as the new executive director. And we had that interview, and it went really well. And you know, the really concerning thing for me is that because of all the challenges in the executive branch to the some of the illegal and inappropriate machinations that have occurred for the past 3 years will not impact his service to our tribe, and he will not be drawn into the dark side because he is a very, very good leader, young leader, and he has served our Native community well. I got to know him really well when he was the Assistant Director for Student Life at the University of Oklahoma, working with our Native student body. And he did a great job while he was here. And he currently is helping with our youth program, the basketball program. And from that entry into our internal affairs, he was connected with those in high places. And he was asked to submit his application, and he did so. And he is very quality character, and that's what concerns me, that he will be forced to relinquish some of those virtuous ways he has. We'll see. I hope he is able to maintain all those strong values he has and make his way through that more after in the executive branch to lead in a good way and help to transform our tribal government system so that it can be of quality service to our people. And one of the frustrations our citizens encounter that keep them from feeling a sense of welcome is oftentimes they'll call and go right to voicemail, and then the voicemail is full. Can't even leave a message with some of the departments. And I encourage him, I to mentor him a little bit before he put his application in. I was trying to help him get the side, and actually I discouraged him from applying. But that's the decision he had to make, and he went ahead with it. So I'll be praying that he is able to hold it. But my advice to him was that he helped to transform our programs and services to give quality service, to give customer care from our employees so that our citizens feel like their needs are being met and that they are welcome to access our programs and services instead of being a burden, which they are so many times meant to feel. And so that was the biggest nomination that we had to deal with. And we also, secondary nominations were to the Kiowa Election Commission. We heard from George Carter, who was seeking a position as a commissioner. And then the current chairman, Amanda Hill, wanted to continue her service. Her service expires in October. So she submitted her name to continue to serve, and We interviewed both those individuals, and we'll see. We will have a legislative order meeting on Monday to vote on them, on all three of those positions, and we'll hopefully move forward. There's some question about how we will vote, I believe, on the commissioners. But I think that Mr. Waters gave a very strong interview and displayed, those qualities of character that we'd like to see in every one of our employees. So I'm almost certain that he will be approved. But who knows? We'll see. It's a very complicated process. And so on this Saturday, today, this Saturday, we will be deciding about the election ordinance. We will vote on that. We will also have an opportunity to vote on a budget proposal that we will present to the chairman for his signature or his veto. And we will see what happens with that. Now that we all want a budget that can be acceptable to all branches and then also to our people. And finally, the day we conducted our hearing, we met for a short time after that, and we heard that District Legislator 4 was going to present some resolution to address the need for a Kiowa Indian Council meeting. And I don't know if that will go anywhere. We've also, Legislator Wolf has presented an alternative for the legislature to call a special meeting where we can elect a coordinator. And I argued with District 4 legislator that we still have a coordinator. He's eligible, according to the Kiowa Indian Election Commission. He's still eligible to serve until October. But he argued that his term has expired based on what it's dubious. But my concern in all this process is that the chairman tried to intervene and have him removed from office. And he took away his phone, took away his email and funding. And we've heard that he actually had kicked him out of his office, trying to give a heavy-handed approach to a separate branch of government, which is totally unacceptable. So that's what we're dealing with at the current time.
All right, Jacob, thank you for that, and we'll come back here to you in just a bit. Anita, are you on? Maybe you could give us your thoughts on what's happened with these meetings and whatnot.
Yes, I am on. Just kind of repeat a little bit of what Jacob just got through saying. In that we are dealing with but we have three nominations for boards, and I'm very happy that we're getting those nominations and getting some staff looked at to cover those vacancies that exist. I would encourage people to make application for the vacancies that exist in the Election Commission for District 5 and also District 3. And I think those are the two districts that are lacking representation at this time. 7-2, and we interviewed the one for District 1 today, or Thursday, I'm sorry, Thursday. And so we need two more. We need 7 representatives of the districts on these commissions. And I did take a trip out to Reno, Nevada this last week for the National Indian Council on Aging, which was very interesting. It meets every 2 years, and of course COVID wiped it out for the last meeting, I guess. It hasn't met in a while, but it was a chancy meeting to go to because of the outbreaks of the variant, Delta variant, and everybody was had masks on them. Even the presenters had masks on. It was kind of hard to hear, but everything went well. The focus was on everything facing elders. One thing that was prevalent there was elder health and then elder abuse. And I know that one of the presentations was a presentation from, it's based on something like VOCA, Victims of Crime, but it was geared towards the elders. And you know how we are as old people, sometimes we may be getting abused, but we don't view it as abuse. And then when it comes down to it, we don't want anything to happen to our loved ones for taking advantage of us. And so we kind of like, well, we'll just let it go, you know. So that's it, down to that. That we don't ever really pursue it. But, a lot to do with the healthy eating and reinventing yourself. Even when you're retiring, you're retired and everybody thinks you should just kind of sit around and you've already worked your way to elderhood and maybe you should take a rest now. But the majority of elders now are reinventing themselves and starting new careers in a different area of interest to them. And so that was surprising to hear. There were quite a few people there, lots of people, and from Alaska and all up in that northwest area. And a lot of people from the Red Rock area, I think their elders were like, I think they took from 30 to 50 elders out there. And so they were well represented from the state of Oklahoma. They redid the bylaws for the NICOA organization. And one of the things that the elders were concerned about was Medicaid and even Medicare taking care of the elders' dental needs. At this time, they don't pay for those things. And so they're wanting some kind of a legislation to go through to take care of that through the Medicare. And so that may get some attention through the National Congress of American Indians. Hopefully someone will submit something to them to push through. You don't have dentures, you don't have good teeth, and can't eat the right kinds of foods. And so that was some interesting things. And as far as exercise is concerned for elders, there was a lot of concentration on that, getting adequate exercise so that we don't become immobile. I thought it was interesting, and I brought a lot of material back, and I will be sharing that material with the tribe at the AOA, so that Mr. Sotai can give that out to elders as they distribute their food. I think Jacob pretty well went over what we're facing as legislators in our duties, and we are going to have our meeting by Zoom once again Saturday morning, starting at 9:00, and we really encourage the public to come in on the Zoom meetings. We are going to have a presentation this time from the committee that wants to do a survey. And so since they had sent a letter wanting to do this survey, and so we're going to have them to explain what that is, since they just sent their resolution and their cover letter. And so they're going to come on by Zoom on Saturday and be able to explain to us and whoever is on the Zoom call as to what exactly they're wanting to do. It's a survey to do just what I'll find out by Saturday. I'll find out today, as everybody else does, what that survey is going to do for us. It's through the Department of Justice. That's a data survey. So hopefully it'll do something for the Indian tribes of this United States, and we'll be a part of it. I think that's about it. I know there's a lot of things going on locally, and that we want to keep involved in and keep bringing attention to and advocate for. And I'm sure Jacob has already gone over most of that. I won't take up your time with that, Joe. I'm kind of worried, Joe, about the Crow tribe and their goings on. I don't know if they're going to cancel or what, but I understand they're having a big fire up there around Lame Deer.
I heard it's under control a little bit. I'm taking off on Monday up there to go up there, and then I'm going to leave Saturday. So I'll be doing the show from up there next Thursday.
You know, I don't know. I have a nephew that's a firefighter up there, and he's at Lame Deer at present. So those firefighters are getting it under control, but I know it's a very dangerous job.
Well, one thing that's good is that they opened Jimtown Bar this morning. It was open for business. Anyway, we have a few more minutes to talk, and I wanted to bring out this topic, and I know it's a concern for a lot of people, is that the chairman is trying to pack these boards with yes men, and I wanted to see what you two thought about Mr. Carter's likelihood of him gaining that election commission seat. Jacob, you want to go first?
Well, I'm not real comfortable with it. I consider him, like you mentioned, that he was a follower, and I wanted to ask him why he resigned, but I couldn't think of it fast enough, because that's a big question in my mind. We'll see. I don't know if I will support him or not.
All right. Anita, what about you? What do you think about that topic?
Well, I know that Mr. Carter has been on the governing body of the Kiowa tribe as a Kiowa Business Committee member in the past, and I encountered him as the treasurer of the tribe, and as the treasurer of the tribe, and Thursday, he spoke so much about sticking with the Constitution, and if you don't do what the Constitution says, you know, it's unlawful, and which I agree with, but in one of the duties of the Treasury is supposed to give the legislature a tribal treasury report every month by the 15th of the month on what the treasury of the Kiowa tribe looks like, and this is a report that's due every month from the treasurer of the tribe to the legislature. And we never received not one report from the treasurer to the legislature. And
Anita, did you say that you received all but one or only one or no reports?
We received not even one. We never received one report from the treasurer of Mr. Carter when he was the treasurer of the Kiowa tribe. The last treasurer of the tribe, we did receive two reports from him.
All right, so we're running out of time. We're running out of time, Anita. So I'm going to have to go to a few announcements and then break off to my close. But I want to thank both of you all for tuning in and joining the show, and your weekly legislative updates are appreciated. To the people, next week I will be at Crow Fair, and we will be doing the show from there and let you know what's going on. And I wanted to say that we hope that everybody will get vaccinated. Please contact your nearest IHS clinic to find out how. Carnegie is 580-654-2533. Lawton, 580-354-5000. And Anadarko, 405-247-7900. Now, all of the powwows for this weekend have been canceled due to COVID. So we hope that you'll keep that in mind and stay safe. It's becoming a big concern. Wear your masks and keep your family safe. We would like to thank our guest, Rose Garza, and Ms. Johnson, and Mr. Tsotai, and of course, Mary Helen Deere for coming on the show today. And we would like to thank all of the Koigu people for tuning in to our program on KACO New Country 98.5, Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill. Please pray for the Kiowa people. And as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.